your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 6. Book of John, chapter 6. My wife and I have had a fantastic time up here. Appreciate the hospitality, all the good food, the good cooking. Wasn't that good, enjoyable today? Very enjoyable. I think y'all deserve a good hand. I'm not going to give you one, but if you guys want to, if y'all want to start clapping, that's fine. Hey, man, I'm just glad y'all don't stand up here. I'll tell you, when I preached at pastor school, a lot of y'all saw that, right? Whenever I preached at pastor school, those people did not want to sit down. They just kept wanting to stand. And finally, I just told them to sit down, because if you were up here, I wouldn't stand for you. I wouldn't. Some of y'all get that later on. And yes, do pray for us. I just usually when I preach, I let the Lord lead and guide. And I do apologize for this morning for going over. I was in, I think, my second point, maybe my third point out of five. And I looked down at the clock. It was 12:02, and the pastor had asked me to start, if I could, the invitation by 12 o'clock. So I do apologize for that. I don't purposely go over, especially on a Sunday morning. But do pray for us, because I have to be at work by 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And it took us 8.5 hours to get here. I usually don't drive as fast at night as I do during the day, because you can't see your friends sitting on the side of the road. You all know what I mean? So I usually tend to just try to go the speed limit, not go with the flow of the traffic. And so pray for us. I have to go home, and we'll probably get home about 4:30, maybe 5 o'clock, depending on how long before they get to him. So pray for us, right? I love preaching this message. It's one of my favorite messages to preach. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, and it's my objective this evening to bring out something that maybe you've never thought of in this very, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 6, starting verse number 3, the Bible says, "And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And I love it, because Jesus asked the question and he already knew the answer. He already knew what he was going to do. Well, what did he do? Well, let's see. "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." I love it. "Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men that sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that the prophet should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." I want us to focus our attention this evening on verse number, and I'm using a new Bible that's not underlined and highlighted and all that good stuff. It's a new Bible that my wife had given me. The Bible says, let's look at verse 10. "And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and to them that sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, Gather up the," what? "The fragments. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." I know we've probably heard 100 different messages on this passage of Scripture, on this miracle that Jesus did. And we've heard of what the little boy did. And I even heard Brother Howell preach a message on, let's hear it for the mother, because she's the one that packed the lunch. right? And so that's all fine, that's all dandy. But I want to focus on the fragments this evening. I've never heard anybody else preach on a fragment. I've never read anything about it. Just when I read through it one day, it just jumped out that the Lord wanted the fragments to be gathered. And then the Bible says here, in the end of verse 12, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I want to preach a message to you this evening entitled The Father's Fragments. But Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you for the ability and freedom that we have to be in your house this evening, Lord. We thank you for the many souls that's been saved, the decisions that's been made for you. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless us here tonight, that you would just give me clarity of thought and speech, that you would fill me with your power, Lord, and allow me to preach exactly what it is that you would have me to preach, Lord. Speak to each and every heart that's here. I pray that you would uplift those that need uplifting and gather, put your arms around each and every person and draw us all closer to you. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. One of the things that I don't like is whenever we read the Bible and we make it say something that it actually just doesn't say. If we would just slow down and read what's there, we would see some of the misconceptions. For instance, Christmas time. How many wise men do we have in all of our manger scenes? Three. The Bible doesn't say that there was three wise men. There may have been three. I don't know. And here, this is actually been titled. In fact, right above on the top part of my page, it says, "The feeding, he feedeth 5,000. To me, that's wrong. And we always hear of the preaching and the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But wait a minute, let's keep the Bible in its perspective and let's look at the Jewish custom. The Jewish custom was for every man to get married. And for each Jewish couple to have lots of children. It doesn't talk about the women and children, does it? So just for the sake of assumption this afternoon, let's just imagine that the 5,000 men that sat down. It said that the men that had sat down were 5,000. Can we imagine that if each one of the 5,000 men had one wife, how many people would that have been? 10,000. You are sharp. All right, let's make it a little bit harder. Let's just say that each couple, each man and each woman that were married had at least one child. How many could that have been? Man, you guys are good. Very good. That could have been a feeding of at least 15,000 people. It doesn't really matter. I'm not going to split hairs with you if you want to get up and preach on the feeding of the 5,000. If you think I'm wrong, that it could be up to 15 or maybe even 20,000 people. It doesn't really matter, right? The thing that does matter is this. We had a big meal this afternoon. Amen? Did y'all miss it? Y'all act like you have no clue what I'm talking about. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Did y'all not eat? Amen. Did y'all eat good? Yes. And I want to use us, that meal this afternoon, and it's so fresh in our minds, I want us to go back to this mountain. I want us to go back to whenever Jesus was teaching his disciples and he looked up and the Bible says that he saw a company of people. And he was moved with compassion. And he said, how are we going to feed so many people? And the disciples said, I don't know, because what little bit of money we have isn't going to be enough to run out to the Quickie Mart down the road or whatever store you have down the road and buy enough food. So then another one says, well, there's a boy here. He brought his lunch. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. I highly doubt that that would have even fed us this afternoon. I watched some of y'all eat. Now I saw how some of y'all were watching my wife and I eat. We can put down some food. We enjoy it. We love it. We love to eat. The feeding. And the Bible says, and I love it too, because over here above this door, you'll have order. The Bible says that God is not the author of what? Confusion. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Out there was kind of confusing. It was. When by the time we had gotten out there, we had to find a place to sit, and there were people just running around and everything. But you know what? The Bible says that the Lord had them all sit down. I believe, and just for the sake of illustration point tonight, I believe that they may have been sitting in rows. And then he had the disciples, right? He had the disciples pass out the food. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use two people I need some disciples. All right, I'm going to use Brian, I believe is your name. And let's see, come on up here, Andrew. I'll use Andrew. So Andrew and Brian. All right, you guys can just stand right down here and just look at me for a moment. And I know you don't want to look at me too long. I wouldn't want to look at me either. All right, so the Bible says that Jesus took the bread and took the fish and he multiplied it. Right? Actually, let's make this a little bit better. Let's get some offering plates. Are they ready and available? Or do we have to, like, run downstairs and get them? Does anybody know? Anybody in the back awake? Can our brother get some offering plates? All right. My disciples need some offering plates. Right? So put one here and put one here. Okay? So Jesus took the bread. Jesus took the fish, he broke it, and he put it in. He broke it, and he put it in. Right? Now, what did he do? He gave the disciples the food, take the food. Okay? Now, I want you to just walk down the middle. And I want you to break the bread. Turn the lights back on. That was a cloud going over our head. All right? Now, I want you to break the bread and pass it down. So I want you to break it to him and pass it down. Pass it down to your mom. Pass it down to her. Pass it down. Pass it down. Nope. Stay on the end. Yeah, pass it down. There you go. All right, y'all get my drift? Yeah. All right, good. Guys, sit down. Keep the plates. You might need them again. Right? All right, let's think. What are some of the things we had out there today? Well, before we ate, well, I didn't. But what was the thing that your mother would always say before you ate? My mother never told me this. I feel left out. Wash your hands. Right? I felt so, I was abused. My mom could have cared less if my hands were clean before I ate. Right? Do you think Jesus said, wait a minute, guys, I need to break out my Purell hand sanitizer. Hold on, guys. That's not in the Greek, by the way. Right? They didn't wash their hands. You know what that means? I hate to be the person all the way on the end. Couldn't you imagine that? Brother on the air there, you're in big trouble. Because these toads didn't wash their hands when they passed out their food to you. What are some things that we had out there today? A watermelon? We had some, well, not food-wise, but let's think of other things. We had some plates, forks, knives. When we're all finished, what do we need when we're all finished? Besides pumpkin pie and oatmeal cookies. What? Trash cans. Right? Did somebody say that? Trash cans? They didn't have any hefty cinch sack bags up there. Right? They didn't have trash day the next day. Jesus said that, and then the Bible says here that they took as much and they were filled. They ate so much that they couldn't eat anymore. It was basically like an all-you-can-eat buffet. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I wonder how many of us today still had food left over on the plates that we had not eaten. So there they are, they're eating the bread, they're eating the fish, they don't have any plates to eat them on, they don't have any napkins to put it up on, so what's happening? All the things, all the crumbs and everything are breaking away, they're falling on the ground, and whenever they had gotten so much that they couldn't eat anymore, look at this big lump up, I just threw it on the ground. Then I believe that they may have gotten up and kind of walking away. Now, this is just one of the passages of Scripture. Maybe I don't pay attention. I don't know. But whenever I'm thinking about this, I think of, wow, all that was left over was 12 baskets full. Man, Jesus multiplied all that food. Well, that's not what it says. It says what was remaining was 12 basketfuls of all the fragments that were left over. Do you know what a fragment is? A fragment is something that is broken off. A fragment is something that was that here, if you would just imagine, was handled by the world. If you are the one that sat on the end, every person in your row had their hands on your food by the time you got it. The fragment was the pieces of food that had been in the mouths of people. Right? I love to eat over my plate because my mouth, as big as it is, hey, watch it. As big as it is, I still have crumbs falling out. Fragments, pieces that are broken off, falling onto the plate. They weren't falling onto the plate here that day. They were just falling on the ground. So the pieces of fragment were the pieces that were not only handled by the world that day, but they were chewed up and spit out by the world. See, well, that's pretty disgusting. Well, I'm not done yet. Then I believe that most of them probably were like true Baptists. Oh, we ain't got him. The Bills are going to be losing again. I do think it's pretty funny that they were up 17 to nothing. And your pastor told me yesterday, the Bills know how to do one thing. Lose. I said, no. There can't be a way. And then until the announcer on the TV said, how can you be up 17 to nothing and then outscored before they have 14 to 3? Anyway, so the people in the mountain had to, before y'all start hating me, I'm glad we take up the offering before I preach. Some churches take it up after I preach. That means I got to be good the whole time. That's hard. So the people, as the NFL games were starting to come on, they had to get home, get to their high-definition TVs, so they had to get up and walk away. So the fragments, the pieces of fragments, were not only the pieces of food that were handled by the world, they were not even the pieces of fragments that were chewed up by the world, they were not even the pieces of fragments that were spit out by the world, and yet they were walked all over by the world. That's what Jesus wanted. That's what he focused on that day. Not the food that had not been touched. Not the food that was still wrapped up. Not the food that nobody had picked all over. He wanted the fragment, the pieces that were all broken. And you say, well, what does that have to do with us? Glad you asked. Because so many times I go into a church and I hear somebody say, well, I used to. And then they're finished a sentence by saying something about serving the Lord. I used to be a preacher. Or I used to be a Sunday school teacher. Or I used to do the bus routes. Or I used to lead the singing. Or I used to sing specials. Or I used to do this. I used to do that. And they had fallen away. They were chewed up by the world. They were handled by the world. They've been spit out by the world. And then whenever it's all been said and done, they were all walked all over. And they felt like nothing but a piece of garbage. And the Bible says that Jesus says, gather up the fragments that remain. That nothing be lost. I could see those 12 disciples that evening on the mountain. I could just see. Andrew, get back up here for a minute. Come on. Hurry up. You don't have to bring your plate. Yeah, bring your plate. Come on. Come on. Get up here. Get up there. Come on. There was a big group. There was a big group eating here, and there's a lot of fragments. Get down there and get them. Come on, get down there. No. Get down there. You can't see them all. Get down. Get down. Pick them up. Look down. Close for them. Pick them up. Fragments. Get them on the plate. Come on. Nothing's going to be lost. Get them up over there. You missed one. Over there, you missed one. Come on, boy. Get somebody else. Get up here and off this place. I'm just teasing. You're doing a good job. You're not. He's doing a good job. Oh, very good. Good job, Andrew. Now, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. And what he did was he ate them. He had the disciples eat them. So get all the. No. Good job. Thank you. You can go ahead and be seated. If I can just imagine Jesus making his disciples get down. Maybe they took out their combs. And y'all laugh, but I don't know, because Jesus said that nothing be lost. I'm wondering this evening on how many people are sitting here and you say, man, I have such a desire to do something for the Lord. And I had a young man, a discussion with a young man right before the services started. He says, man, sometimes my desires to do the worldly things outweigh the desires to do the spiritual things. Jesus said, can't you watch for 1 hour? Can't you pray for 1 hour? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul said in Romans 7, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. There might be somebody sitting here in this church this evening that may say, you know what, I want to go to Honduras on a missions trip, but God can't use me. Because you don't know what I've done, preacher. I've been handled by the world. I've been chewed up by the world. I've been spit out by the world. I've been walked all over by the world. God doesn't want me. God may still love me, but he doesn't want to use me. It's not what the Bible says. He wants the fragments that remain. I want you to see that God does not discriminate. The Bible says that with God, there's no respecter of persons. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 10, verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh rewards. The phrase, which regardeth not persons, means that he doesn't give honor to somebody that he doesn't give to somebody else. The Bible says that he rejoices for the one person that comes to repentance. The Bible says that he rejoiced for the prodigal son that had returned. Now I'm wondering, how many of us just need to be found by Jesus? Here am I, a broken piece of fragment. Acts 10:34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 7, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respecter of persons, nor taking of gifts. Did you notice that he didn't say, get the bigger pieces? Don't worry about the small pieces. You know what he's saying here today? And preacher, pastor, I really appreciate that you let Andrew get up here without a shirt, without a tie on, and without a jacket. I appreciate that. Because there's no place in the Bible that says that thou shalt wear a tie when you preach. Where's Brother Seth at? Where'd he go? There you are. Did you preach when you were in Honduras? Did you get to do any ministering at all? Did you have to wear a tie when you were there? He probably did. He's a spiritual guy. Let me ask somebody else. My pastor is a guy that I see him out of his tie twice a year. That's it. That's usually on a church picnic. And then it's usually, again, at the end of vacation Bible school, we have like a little carnival for all the vacation Bible school kids and stuff. And that's basically the 2 days that I don't see my pastor without at least a dress shirt on. Most of the time, he's even got a tie on. And that's just like, you know, unless they go out at the services, and he's really tired, and maybe he'll take his tie off. But that doesn't really matter. God's not looking for the one that's got the shirt and tie on. I mean, hey, we ought to have standards. But you know, I think sometimes us Baptists, I think just we have to clean the person up before we offer them to God and let God use them. I used to preach at this church, at this one church, at least once a month. They had this bus kid coming. He said, "Brother Johnny, I want to be a preacher." Little black boy. And him and I were talking one day, and he had an earring in his ear. And one of the men in the church came up and said, "You can't come back to church unless you don't take that earring out." Now, I'm against earrings. I really am. Nose rings, I don't mind. I took mine out to come here, but that's all right. Pastor was jealous that mine was bigger than his. But you know what? When it comes to the things of God, this is the hospital. Do you realize that? The church is the hospital. And let's just say down at the next intersection, there's a bad accident. And somebody gets sliced wide open by a piece of glass. Are we going to go to them and say, "Hey, man, we need to get that glass out of your forehead and sew up your forehead, sew that arm back on, get you all bandaged up, get you all cleaned up, then get you to the hospital?" But that's what we do in Christianity. It's what we do in Christianity. I've seen too many times people say, "You can't do this, and you can't do it," and I believe it. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong, but allow God to do it. Allow God to get in work with them. Don't make them a bigger piece of fire. It doesn't matter because we're all broken. We're all handled by the world. We've all been chewed up by the world. We've all been spit out by the world. We've all been walked over by the Lord. And there's not one person that God wants to look at over someone else and say, "Hey, you can't do this." In Exodus chapter 4, God says, "I want you to Moses. I want you to be the leader of my people." You know what Moses said? I'm not eloquent of speech. I'm of a slow tongue. You know what I said? Okay, next. All right, I got your point. You say you shouldn't make people fun of people that stutter. My best friend stutters. Right? Sometimes it's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. So that's not right to make fun of him. He makes fun of me. I don't care. It's because we know that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It's because we know that God still wants to use us. He's not going to discriminate against us. He's not going to disregard us. It's like a broken vessel. God will just take those broken pieces and pick them up and remake us and remold us and reshape us. And I don't have to go into any details, but after my dad died, I had gone into a dark time. I had gone into a time when I just basically said, "Am I going to continue in the ministry?" I was a broken piece. I was a fragment. I was a beautiful creation. And then I allowed the world to grab a hold of me and chew me back up, spin me back out, walk all over me. God says, "Uh-uh. No, wait a minute. He sees a fragment. I still want him." And I've noticed in the last at least month, been out preaching and really going at it, but really in the last month, God is just seemed like really starting to use us. I mean, Friday night, I was talking to my wife, and I honestly believe that was probably the greatest meeting that I've ever preached. There's probably only one other meeting that would have topped that. It would have been a Solid Rock Youth meeting, Youth Ministries meeting back about maybe 6 years ago, where we saw 200, 300, 400 teenagers come walk in the aisle. We saw teenagers standing up, asking for a microphone and say, "Hey, I've got to confess my sin to my youth pastor because this is what I've done against him and against the teens." When was the last time we've done that? When was the last time we've just admitted, hey, we're a fragment? Here am I, God. You know what? I'm broken. I've been handled. I've been chewed up. I've been spit out. I've been walked all over. But yet you still don't want to disregard me. You still don't want to throw me away. There's still a use for me. He's not going to discriminate against you. He's not going to disregard you. He's not going to omit you. He's not going to neglect to slight or to say that you're unworthy. We are unworthy. But in the sight of God's eyes, He don't see us that way. And then lastly this evening, God does not discourage. He doesn't discourage. The word discourage, I looked it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, means to extinguish the courage of or to dishearten. It's like the little kid's song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. Right? I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. We need to be the light of the world. The word discourage also means to be spiritless. If you're a child of God, you've got His Spirit living inside you. But sometimes we can quench Him. What can you do? What can you do? Now, just to be honest with you, I do believe in soul winning, but I do not go door to door. Okay? I believe in it. The Bible says that they went house to house. I believe we should still continue that. But for obvious reasons, I think sometimes people just can't do it. All right? Most of the houses in our area, all the newer houses have like 14 steps getting up to them. Okay? And if y'all can't figure out why I can't get up 14 steps, then we need to sit down with your checkbook later on. Let me help you with it. So I find different ways. One of the reasons why I'm so fat is because one of the things I like to do is go into a restaurant and talk to the servers about the Lord. One of the things that I started doing after I started driving, I will not do it when I have my wife in the van, but I do it whenever I'm by myself. I'll pick up hitchhikers. I picked them up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. In the ghetto. I don't care. You know why? Because, number one, I'm a child of God. You can't threaten me with heaven. Number two, God gave me that vehicle to use for Him. And number three, when you're doing 40 or 50 mile an hour, and you start talking about Jesus, they can't slam the door in your face. And I just figure if they pull out a knife or a gun and tell me to do something, as much as I love my van. You can ask my wife. I absolutely love my van. I have had it up to 108 miles an hour before. And I am not opposed to doing it again and seeing if we can take out a bridge. I'm not opposed to that. I'll do it. You can't threaten me with heaven. I'll get up to 100 mile an hour and say, I'm about ready to crash here. Next bridge we come to, you're gonna be eating some concrete. You better know Jesus. And the other day to work, I thought it was pretty exciting. I got to stop and pick up a hitchhiker on the way to work. Guy from Venezuela, couldn't even hardly understand a word he was saying. And I did, actually, I got a little nervous talking with him. I don't know why. I guess it's the fact that he had a book bag. And he put it in his lap, he didn't buckle his seatbelt. I'm like, this guy's probably got a gun. Well, what am I going to do? It's a guess. So I just said, where are you going, church? And he told me I didn't understand him. I said, good, I'm glad you go. And I felt like saying if I crashed his van and your gun would fire out the window right now, I know the gun would go out the window, where would you go? But I didn't put it that way. I just said, hey, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? Yes. Yes. Understood that. So how you know that? He says, because of Jesus. Jesus did it all. I said, now you know we can't work our way to heaven. You know that it's only by His blood and for forgiving us for our sins. He says, my grandpa told me about that. My grandpa died. He's in heaven now. Amen. That's encouraging. I don't even know why I got into that, but you know what? What can you do? What can you do? We're all broken pieces of fragments. The Bible says, I will praise thee from fearfully and wonderfully made. When was the last time you praised God? When was the last time you just said, Lord, don't let that distract you. That's right. Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. I know I've been handled. I know I've been chewed up. I know I've been spit out. I know I've been walked all over. But use me. The book of John 14, verse 12 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. The works that Jesus did, we can do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know, Jesus said that we are his sheep. We can hear his voice. We know his voice. My mom's family is from the hills of West Virginia. I mean the hills. I have a great uncle that looks like Captain Caveman. I mean, he's probably 5'7", almost 6 foot tall. Probably weighs 90 pounds. Full, thick beard. I think he's got a couple bird nests in it. Loves the animals. Thinks he's a snake. He collects all kind of rattlesnake and everything like that. But one of the other things that he collects and takes care of are sheep. And I absolutely love sheep. I love sheep. And I found out that he had some little ones. And I know what they're called, but I'm not going to. They're little lambs. Yeah, little lambs. I wasn't going to tell you that because of what he calls them. And I said, Uncle Achy, I said, I'd love to see your lamb. I just want to see him. So there we were. We were a little ways from the fence because of some big rocks and everything. I couldn't get down to the fence. And all I saw was a big open field. And I was like, where are these things at? And he goes down to the fence. And my Uncle Achy, he's got this high voice. And he goes down that fence and goes, hey, Lambie! 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 I'm like, what? Is he going to scare him away? Then all of a sudden, up running through the field, all these little lambs come running up to him so he can feed them. Man, that was an exciting time for me. Because that's how we are. I'm just wondering here this evening when if God would have to call out for us. We're not right there. Hey, Lambie. You're a broken piece of fragment. You feel like you're useless. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening, nobody looking around. Jesus says, I want the fragments. Gather the fragments. Gather up all that remains. That nothing be lost. In this auditorium this evening, God does not want one person to walk out here lost. Either lost for all eternity or just spiritually lost. You're a child of God, but you just feel like you're useless. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I just feel like that fragment. I feel like the one that's hiding underneath of that blade of grass. this evening as you went through that field. You ciphered through the grass. I've surfaced to the top. Would you pray for me that I would just allow God to use me? Is there anybody like that at all? I've already seen hands. Hands going up. It's a broken piece of fragment. Preacher, pray for me. Amen. Hands all over the auditorium. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Amen. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, nobody looking around. Why don't you stand your feet, please? Stand your feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You know, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says whenever Jesus shed his blood, he died once for all, that none should be lost. Maybe you're here this evening, you say, Preacher, I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? Because I need to be saved. Just pray for me. Is there anybody like that at all? Anybody like that at all? Preacher, pray for me. I've never been saved. I need to be saved. Six saved this morning. Amen. If you raised your hand a moment ago, I said I was going to pray for you. That's what I'm going to do. Do the invitation the same exact way we did this morning. I'm going to pray for you. They're going to be getting to play the song of invitation. If you raise your hand, I want you to sit back from where you stand in and come. Father, we turn this time over to you. I pray for each and every hand that went up, Lord. I pray that you would just pick them up into your basket, Lord. That you would mold them and make them into something brand new. And God, in the name of Jesus, that you would use them for your honor and your glory. I ask these things in your name. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. As they begin to play right now, if you raise your hand.